Hope you're having a good Wednesday afternoon. Jamie and Locker with you on the Green Zone. Of course, the NHL playoffs will begin this weekend. The Eastern Conference is all set. We know who's playing who and who has home ice advantage after last night's games. Boston had a win, so that clinched them the wild card. Now they will take on Buffalo. Carolina takes on Ottawa. Buffalo and Carolina with home ice. Montreal's loss means Tampa has home ice against Montreal. And Pittsburgh will have home ice advantage in the Battle of Pennsylvania. Now, do the Habs have a shot at going the distance and winning the Stanley Cup? They were the last Canadian team to win it in 93. Will they be the first to force Gary's hand and give it right back to Canada with the captain, Nick Suzuki? Sean Farrell is joining us from NHL.com, but Sean did have a request to join us today at four. We're up to four overpasses hit in Saskatoon, Sean.
Four total.
Yeah.
I was going to ask for an update. Who's in worse shape, the overpasses or the Blades?
Oh, that is going to be the Saskatoon Blade. Well, except for the one overpass. That's in pretty bad shape. That's been closed for a while. The Blades are back on the rise, I think.
It'll cost the Blades less.
Yeah, that's true. It's costing the Blades less to fix than the overpass. But, Sean, no easier question to start an interview. Do the Habs have the team to go the distance this spring?
They have a better shot than last year. How's that?
Okay. They need to be a little bit better than that to go all the way this season.
Yeah. It's great that they got that experience last year, that this team now has the playoff experience under its belt, including Dobis and Demidov, who played all five games against the Capitals last year after just joining the team for the last two games of the season. That's invaluable to have that kind of experience, especially with such a young team. Another thing that's kind of fascinating about a team that's rebuilt is look up front, look at how many of the Canadian players played in that Stanley Cup final in 2021 against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Caulfield and Suzuki were both part of that. Evans was there. Josh Anderson was there. Brendan Gallagher, who's now in and out of the lineup, was there. And Phil Deneau is back with the team, and he was there. So they got six guys. When you go through a rebuild and six forwards, they're still standing. That's really something, especially when you look at how that team has been remade. The defense is completely remade, and they've really added some offense to this lineup, something that Montreal hasn't seen in decades. You know, a 50-goal scorer in Cole Caulfield, a 100-point player in Suzuki. And Suzuki's only the fifth Canadian player ever to get 100 points. That's really something.
But I keep hearing these numbers thrown around with that. It doesn't make any sense.
First 50-goal season since Stefan Risha.
Like 30 years. Wow. I'm curious, Sean. Since
look at that, right? Look at those decades, right? Those were the decades where you know, Gretzky was going berserk and Lemieux, and those numbers were being put up. And the Canadians didn't have scores like that. Canadians had scores like that in the 70s.
Yeah.
And that's where Schutt and Lafleur put their names all over the record books.
Sean, I'm curious. What do you think is more impressive? Is it Suzuki's 100-point season or Caulfield's 50 goals?
Wow. In a way, I think it's actually Suzuki's 100-point season, just in the sense that Cole Caulfield, I think from the moment they drafted him, you could see that the potential of that guy scoring 50 goals in the NHL existed. It was there. Did anybody see 100 points out of Nick Suzuki?
No.
I don't know. That would have been, So that's really something.
Point.
He leads that line. He leaves that line. And Slapkowski, boy, has he ever...
He's a nice-looking player.
This year, I think people can really see now what the Canadians were going for when they took him with the number one pick. You know, he was
I didn't see it.
Not a consensus number one. He was no slam dunk
Well, let's talk about a few of those things, though, Sean. Like, but you go back 3-4 years ago, you go back to that draft, and people are like, ooh, I don't know
what
about this.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
also the
yeah.
coach, when they hired Martin St. Louis, they were like, wait a second, he's coached Pee-wee hockey. What are we doing hiring Martin St. Louis? And I don't know. I see the coaching carousel happen, and Martin St. Louis, isn't he proving to hockey minds that hockey experience is more important than coaching experience, because he has knocked it out of the park?
Yeah, well, it appears, and if you talk to anybody who played with Marty or was around him as a player, they all say the same thing. He just ate up the game. He was a student of the game. He was a coach, essentially, as a player, because he would talk with his teammates in that way. And that, I guess, it just kind of went under the radar for everybody. I asked that question at his introductory press conference. Look at what he's been able to do. The thing that is important there to understand is that Jeff Gorton and Kent Hughes understood Marty. They were very close to Marty, and they knew what they were getting. So their confidence in him sure has been borne out.
I'm curious about your comparison goaltending tandems with the rest of the teams in the East.
Fascinating. Can you think of a playoff team that's gone into the playoffs with two rookie goalies?
Yeah, and I'm curious about how you think the Habs stack up goaltending wise with the other teams that they're going to potentially meet here in the first.
Yeah, that is a big question mark. I mean, Dobis has had a sensational rookie season, and Jacob Fowler, the goalie of the future, started his move this season and played well enough that. This duo displaced Sam Montembeau, who was, let's not forget, a year ago, he was goalie number three on Team Canada at the Four Nations. It remains to be seen. That's the story that's going to be written, I think, in this playoffs is how the Canadiens rookie goalies perform under this pressure.
I don't know, Sean. Montreal with a rookie goaltender in the playoffs, it's never worked out for them before.
No, I can't think of that going well, eh?
Oh, wait, yeah, Patrick Waugh. That worked out okay for the Montreal. Yeah.
Steve Penny back in 1984 took the Canadiens on a run.
Didn't Dryden come in late in that season, too, and then won a cup?
We played his first. Dryden played six regular season games
and then
went on to run the table in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He won the Conn Smythe Trophy before winning the Calder Trophy the next season when he played a full season as a rookie.
So, see, this is why we should bet on the Canadiens.
There you go.
It's just a trend. Rookie goaltender, Montreal Canadiens, Stanley Cup championship. There you go.
Well, and they've got two now, so
yeah,
double your fun.
from your lips.
So this matchup against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Sorry, Sean.
Yeah, they you know, the Canadiens enter this playoff. Now the expectations are there from the fans and from hockey insiders. I think they're looking to see what this team can do now. And they're in tough with the Tampa Bay, because Tampa Bay is essentially the same team it's always been, with some different components, but principal is Nikita Kucherov, who's going to get a wonderful reception every time he hits the ice in Montreal. He has ever since the Stanley Cup final, but I think it'll go to a whole new level in this playoff series.
So, Sean, are you picking the Montreal Canadiens to win round one?
Hey, like Phil Blake said, I'm not a gypsy. I don't make predictions. But if I had to make a prediction, I'd say that the Canadiens could eke this one out in seven. Oh. I think it's going to be a tough series.
This series is going to be fun.
It's going to be a great series. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Like, Sean, this team, the Montreal Canadiens, is must-see TV.
It is.
Right?
Lane Hutson is fabulous to watch. I mean, anybody that goes to a game at Bell Center, the beauty of it is you can watch, you can just isolate on him, and it's amazing where he ends up on the ice.
Okay, so, Sean, we were talking about the best defenseman in the league the other day. And I said, for the Norris Trophy, I said Lane Hutson, and someone texted, "Are you Lane Hutson?" I'm sorry. I watched the kid. Like, he's still a kid to me, but he eats up minutes. He's 24 minutes a night. How good is he? And maybe underrated is Lane Hutson.
Well, underrated. Yeah, when you talk about in the Norris Trophy conversation, I would have him in the conversation for sure. He just plays some kind of hybrid hockey that fits in Martin Saint-Louis' system, and the way he drives that power play, the way he drives offense, he becomes a fourth forward. He has a great sense of defending, despite his lack of size. He's even on the PK now, and he's showing that he can excel at that. He's fascinating.
Yeah, when I look at even strength points, Lane Hutson on defenseman is number two in the league in even strength points behind only Zach Werenski. Like, that's where he's at. So,
you know, one thing about this edition of the Canadiens from previous recent editions is the power play and the potential of that power play. I mean, they've got Caulfield, Suzuki, Demidov, Slavkovsky, and Hudson's running the show. I mean,
it's pretty good.
It's looking very good.
Well, Sean, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much. We'll call you back with another overpass update if another one gets hit.
And you know, all about the Blades bouncing back and running four straight.
Here we go. Reverse sweep time for the Saskatoon Blades, although our friends in Prince Albert will not like this conversation whatsoever. Yes, Blades Raiders tonight, game number four, SaskTel Center. That's Sean Farrell. You can check out his work on the Habs, NHL.com. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Two nights left in the NHL regular season. You can head to our Facebook page. It is facebook.com/Jamie and Locker. Green Zone with Jamie and Locker is where you find it on Facebook. That is where the standings are right now for our regular season hockey pool that you entered at the start of the season. Neil is closing in on first prize. Top three get prizes. There is a tie for third right now. With two nights left, we'll do another update after the games tonight. Look for that tomorrow. And then, of course, our final standings will be posted on Friday to announce the top three. And yes, Wheels is still winning the celebrity side of it. And Locker's in second. So my life is hell right now.
Been winning a lot of these things lately. How are you doing? You look good.
You can't ask your wife anymore for advice on these things. This is unfair.
I do what I need to do.
But there is a playoff contest to tell you about. CJME.com, CKOM.com. We have a $100 gift card to Source for Sports from the Green Zone for you. So head to CJME.com, CKOM.com. You just click on the drop-down menu, head to Contests, and that's where you find the Green Zone Cup Challenge. All you have to do is pick the Western Conference champion, the Eastern Conference champion, who's going to win the Stanley Cup, and then the tiebreaker will be how many goals will be scored in the Stanley Cup final.
In the entire series?
In the entire series.
Okay.
All four, five, six, or seven games. The registration will close Tuesday, April 21st. So register now, CJME.com, CKOM.com, because we do know the 16 teams in the final. So you can make those picks today or wait until next Monday after the first few games of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's entirely up to you. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Wednesday afternoon. Well, about last night, didn't go the way the Blades would have hoped. 4-0 loss to the Raiders, down 3-0 in the series, but
must win game last night.
Well, is it a must win when you get to play tonight? I'm not so sure, but Dan Da Silva says you can't quit now.
They're not going to quit in that room. This is not a team that is going to roll over and die by any means. We have some great leaders in that room that have come back from 3-0 series deficits before. They know that anything can happen in this league.
But should Dan Da Silva have had this post-game rant?
All you got to do is look at the stat sheet. 3 hits, 23 giveaways. Like, I don't know if I'm back. But if I'm back, I'm changing this culture.
Maybe that's where Dan Da Silva should have went last night for the Blades. Oh. Scott Roblin.
Kids are playing hard.
Scott Roblin is our Saskatoon sports reporter.
Outmatched.
First off, Scott, should Rick Bowness go into the all-time coaching rant Hall of Fame? Should it be inducted after he put the Blue Jackets on blast last night?
It was outstanding. I loved it because it is a coach in a rare situation where there is no veil of trying to protect the team or protect the players. He spoke his mind to the nth degree last night, and the entire press conference was insane. And you know what? Good on him. You know, he's at the point in his career where he doesn't really care if he torches the relationship with the Blue Jackets. He's going to just end up, you know, back in retirement and head back out on the water again. So I loved it. I thought it was a great rant.
That's my problem with it.
You have a problem with it?
No, I loved it. But by putting it into like this conversation, that you wanted to put it into the top.
Yeah, raise it to the rafters.
No. Because the timing was off. Like he said, he even knows the timing's off. I should have done this a month ago. And
timing doesn't matter.
He wasn't unhinged enough.
Okay. Locker wants unhinged.
For NHL standards, it was pretty unhinged.
Yeah. Fairly, although we went back today.
We had to find one, which one to use of John Tortorella.
Oh.
So we went with this one on the Penguins were against the Rangers in the playoffs.
Torts might have the top five of the.
And there was a hit.
It's a cheap, dirty hit. It's just, I wonder what would happen if we do to their two whining stars over there. I wonder what would happen. So I'm anxious to see what happens with the league with this. Just no respect amongst players. None. It's sickening. It's one of the most arrogant organizations in the league. They whine about this stuff all the time, and look what happens. It's ridiculous. But they'll whine about something else over there, won't they? Starting with their two stars.
Okay, see, no, you can hear him not thinking. That's just flow. Bones is in his head. That's why I don't want that rant, which was awesome. Bones okay. Was awesome. He was two in his head.
I don't know. I loved every minute. The best part about Bonus was he kept on saying, "What else do you want? What else?"
That was good.
What else? Do you have another question? Bring it on.
Do we want Roblin to weigh in on the Bedard conversation we're having?
Absolutely,
as well?
We can.
Okay, so Hockey Canada calls Bedard and says, "Hey, you want to play in the World Hockey Championships?" Does he have to say yes this year?
I don't know if he has to, seeing as we're starting a brand new Olympic cycle. I mean, that's where a lot of the conversation last year was, is you're, you know, less than a year out from the Olympics and you're choosing not to play the World Championships and you want to get the good books of Team Canada. Ultimately, I don't think the reason Bedard didn't go to the Olympics this past year was because he said no to Worlds. I think it more so had to do with the injury, quite frankly, given how he started the year. And I will say, I think it actually wasn't the worst decision last year, because you look at the different type of player he was from game 82 last season to the start of this season. I think he used that time to his benefit. Now, would I want to see him on the team? And do I think he should at some point wear the Maple Leaf again? I think so, especially since, you know, we're a couple years away from Four Nations. We're now starting a new Olympic cycle. I, as a fan, want to see Connor Bedard play for the Olympic or the World Championships. And depending on how Chicago does the next couple of years, this might be his best opportunity
to win anything.
To win. Yeah, 100%.
I think if he says no, he's toast.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he's toast.
He's not.
They'll never call him again.
Not a chance.
He's got too much of a runway. He's too young, I would think.
He's only 20.
He's better not say no.
I would say yes. I think he should say yes, but I disagree that if he says no, he's done for Hockey Canada.
There is no more dates coming his way.
I don't think so.
Yeah, this is like that girlfriend. You make the wrong move, she's never calling you again.
Yeah, but you're calling her again. That is...
and she's blocking your number.
Okay. If there's a will, there's a way sometimes.
All right.
This is PTSD for me. Can we not talk about this? Let's go to the Saskatoon Blades and the PA.
Crack something open here on the Green Zone
the PA
today.
Raiders.
And I am not certified for this.
Okay. Was last night a must win, Scott, or
yes,
not?
Yes, it was.
I think
Say it,
for
Scott.
The Blades in this series, it was pretty much a must win. I think it's
no.
the upper.
No, no, no. He said pretty much. He did not say absolute must win.
He's got a foot in the must win pool. He's swimming around.
Hey, Scott doesn't like it when mom and dad are fighting, okay? So let's just
the only chance the Blades have of winning
I'm just getting the popcorn out right now.
The only chance the Blades have of winning is they put Polkchek in tonight.
Does he have to be on the ATV on the ice as well?
Actually, that would help.
It would help with speed because the Raiders are coming in waves, Scott.
Yeah, it was. You know what? I'll give the Blades credit. Last night was definitely their best game of the series. There were stretches where they went toe to toe with the Raiders and had a bunch of great chances, cross ice, post hit, a bunch of good chances on the power play. The end point of where this team's at right now is they have one goal in the series. And PA, I wouldn't say they were as dominant as they were at the Art Hauser Center, but they were able to use that speed. I mean, Braden Coutts just had a phenomenal night. The way he was able to make room and make space and just that shot coming down on the wing on Evan Gardner was unbelievable for a second goal of the night. So I think the Blades are in real trouble here. We've seen it before in recent years of coming back 3-0, but this is a PA Raiders team that it has smelled blood all series long, and it's going to take a monumental effort tonight to get back in this.
Is there one aspect of the Blades game last night that stood out for you more than any other that has any semblance of hope that they can knock one of these four hurdles down tonight?
I think the biggest thing I saw was attacking across the blue line with aggressiveness and speed. You didn't see that in the first two games where I wouldn't say they were tentative, but, you know, they just, as soon as they crossed the blue line, it was a turnover or they dumped the puck in. Dax and Rudolph or Brock Cripps would be the first one back to the puck and it comes back the other way. There was no sustained offense, no sustained pressure from the team. You did see periods last night where the Blades were able to hang on to the puck for a decent amount of time and get some really good looks with it. So tonight's, it is, at the end, I think they're going to have to score one, if not two goals in the first maybe 10 minutes, 20 minutes of this game, because you've just seen so many stretches of the series where the Blades, quite frankly, are a very frustrated team right now. And Dan DeSilva admitted last night as much that, you know, for as many looks as they've been getting and getting better throughout the series, they still can't find the back of the net. Their only goal so far was a third period goal back in game one. So I think they need to score early and often to have a shot at knocking off this Raiders team.
The other thing too, and maybe you can speak to this because you're in front of these guys, but I get the sense that this Raiders squad is not just confident, but really loose. Like every time I see one of their players speaking to the media or, any of the highlights that I have seen, they look like a very, very, very relaxed team that is trusting in their systems and trusting in the plan.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, because talking with the players and even just walking past them in the hallways at SaskTel Center and just the conversations having with Brian McDonald as well, in a good way, it does feel kind of like a high leverage regular season game for them. It doesn't feel like there's the pressure of the world on them right now. And Dan DeSilva said last night, his players are feeling some pressure on their shoulders to find the back of the net. I think it's the opposite for PA right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think they know what the stakes are. It's an opportunity to go to the Eastern Conference final for the first time in 7 years. But you wouldn't know it from just the way that they're handling themselves on the ice. It is a very loose team. It's a very confident team, and a team that has been able to roll their lines very, very effectively in the series.
And they're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
A lot easier to have fun when you've outscored the opponents 13-1 in the series as well.
Yeah.
And Mikhail Orsaluk had, you know, thanked his friends, called the pipes last night a little bit, but had another pretty outstanding performance, back-to-back shutouts for the PA Raiders goaltender. That is Scott Roblin, the Green Zone Saskatoon sports reporter and relationship counselor for Locker and I here on this Wednesday afternoon. Scott, enjoy game four tonight.
Yeah, glad to help you guys out.
That is Scott Roblin, Saskatoon sports reporter here on the Green Zone. Jamie Ann Locker with you here on the Green Zone. What do you think? Scott and I really appreciated Bones's rant. Rick Bonus.
I didn't say I didn't appreciate it. You wanted to, like, anoint it. You know,
but
what
is
the best rants of all time? And I'm like, it's not there.
Does it belong in the coaching rant Hall of Fame? Should it be lifted to the rafters?
I don't think so.
1-877-332-8255. This is Jamie and Locker here on the Green Zone on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Oh, yeah. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Not going to spend a lot of time on this topic, but it is of interest. Last night when I saw Kevin Lowe and Chris Pronger trending on the old social media platform known as Twitter, now X.
That was odd.
I was like, wait, Kevin Lowe went to LinkedIn to respond to Chris Pronger's Athletic excerpt from his book, Earned? LinkedIn? This can't be real. It's real! Kevin Lowe ticked off about Chris Pronger and the story he told in The Athletic from his book about the trade to Edmonton, and how Chris Pronger was hammered when he agreed to a 5-year contract with the Oilers and didn't tell his wife about it. When she went to bed, she thought it was going to be a 1-year deal. When she woke up, it was a 5-year deal, and she was not happy.
First off, we'll get into the dispute between Lowe and Pronger, but wouldn't you be mad at your agent for getting you to sign a deal when you're that drunk? That was the story he told. He was like,
he was at a party when he found out about the trade. He went home, talked to his wife about it.
He was already
like, okay,
drunk.
We'll do a 1 year. And then he had a few more beers when his agent called. And he's admitting to all this.
Yeah, this isn't. Yeah,
and
this is in the book.
He was on the phone and
he said he was like, okay. He was inebriated. And his
let's do 5 years. They can't do one. Okay. And then he woke up with a ton of regret when he informed his wife that he had signed a 5-year deal for her and the two kids under the age of 4 to go to Edmonton, Alberta, a place she's never been to, for the next 5 years of their life. By November, he knew that wasn't going to work out, so he asked for a trade. But give Pronger credit. He did not quit on that team. He went he would have been the Conn Smythe winner if they win that Stanley Cup.
But I also, and I don't know this for sure, and maybe I'm wrong, but I seem to recall his wife wasn't even living with him in Edmonton. He was there. He was batching it that whole time he was in Edmonton. Because that was a conversation when I was in.
He admitted the marriage was not in a good place. And that's why he needed to get that trade done. And he did. And he got her done. And Kevin Lowe did the trade. And now Kevin Lowe on LinkedIn last night said he regrets it and wishes he would have let him sit and not play at all, then trade him to Anaheim. I'm sorry. That's little sour grapes there from Kevin. And I don't know what Chris wrote that ticked Kevin Lowe off so much. And Kevin Lowe said, his wife messaged me and said, how excited. Chris Pronger was with Jason Greger on 1440 today and said she never wrote Kevin Lowe anything. Not to his knowledge. I asked her about it. Not to his knowledge that she wrote a note to Kevin Lowe.
Well, maybe she's a third tier wife.
Well, you know, Kevin Lowe likes tiering things, especially the fan base in Edmonton. Yeah, this just picked at that scab wide open from the, that was 20 years ago, that run for the Edmonton Oilers.